Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Well, have you ever had one of those days where when you wake up, there's just anxiety about the things that you have to do? That was on Tuesday, kind of the Bishop family's experience in the morning. Clothes couldn't be found. Homework wasn't done. The favorite cereal was out. But the box was still there. But it was empty. Okay? It was one of those day shoes, we have no idea, those types of things. And at that point of the day, after all of that, then my kids got up, right? Because that was all me. And so it was the worst. And it was almost like, in reading the emails and everything else, I mean, it was almost like there were these little bits and pieces that just kind of take away and steal your joy. You know what I'm talking about? It kind of like just siphons off everything that you've got. And before 10 o'clock, like I dropped the kids off at school. And before 10 o'clock, I was feeling like I had very little left in the tank and I just wanted to go back to sleep. Have you had those days before where it's just every little thing makes you feel like you're being emptied and siphoned off? And so you're left then, starting your day, or maybe it's a season, kind of starting out almost empty. Have you been there before? And you just don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. Man, and as we continue down this path or this series that we are calling The Gifts of the Dark Wood, we encounter this, what we think of is sometimes one of those places at which, you know, ounce by ounce our energy goes down. It's almost at that place where, kind of like your cell phone some days, where you plug it in all night, it's at 100% when you wake up, and then by the time you get to work, it's at like 40%. Something has stolen that joy. Something has stolen that energy. And so we look at this gift of emptiness with wariness, I think, today. We go, well, really, is really that feeling a gift for us? Is it really a good thing that we are feeling like we are running on fumes? Where, in all of this, could there be some kind of joy or some kind of gift? And hopefully what we realize is that being empty can actually kind of come from a couple of places, whether it be, you know, others or things siphoning off that joy that you have, or that energy that you have. But then there are other times where we can be poured out, where we're intentional about pouring ourselves out onto others and those things that matter most to us. And so hopefully today what we can do is we can talk about, you know, making our way toward the ladder where every single day we are being poured out. But in the dark wood, it doesn't feel like that. In the dark wood, we think that we have to get ourselves out of this emptiness. We have to fill ourselves up. And so as we journey through today, we're going to have kind of three steps. And the first is we're going to want to make sure that we are intentionally empty, whether that be because of our own doing of pouring out or because of other things kind of making it so that you kind of have that feeling of all I need is a win. Have you ever been there before? I just need something to go easy, or, you know, it doesn't have to be easy even. It can just work without pulling teeth. And so when we hear that word or those words from our passage today that are printed in your bulletin, you know, whoever tries to preserve their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will preserve it. It sounds like this kind of Christian ease that we talk about, similar to the fact that we have three persons but one God. It's that kind of trickiness, that dichotomy that comes with some of the things we say as followers of Jesus. But I think that as we talk about being intentionally empty, what we realize is that this dichotomy then invites us into something deeper that maybe we can only find its fullness in this dark wood. you know, in some ways that we recognize and remember our place in the grand scheme of things and the way in which the world works and the way that God can then fill us up. But before we are filled up, we have to become empty. I was at a conference yesterday doing some videoing, and one of the speakers said, talking about worship teams and design and everything else, he said, man, you have to be poured out during practice so that you can be filled up during worship. And I thought, man, that's deep. He went to school for that, so like we'll give it to him, right? So, but you have to be poured out in order to be filled back up. And I think, man, there's something powerful to that about practicing our faith in ways in which we intentionally empty ourselves. At the bottom of most of my Faith Point emails, in my e-notes, it says, you know, the salutation or whatever, it says, be gods, right? Be gods, but not like, yeah, there you go, right? Like that kind of gods. And I got that from an author, I think Brennan Manning, who talked about this kind of ragamuffin way that we do things, but we get this confused with the way in which we sometimes erase the apostrophe and make the G lowercase, right? Because we like to be our own gods, small g. We like to be the ones who fill ourselves up. We like to be the ones who think that all of the weight of the world has, you know, like my happiness, my fullness depends on me because I am that little G God. Or we place our trust in those other things. Neil Gaiman's book, American Gods, fantastic book. Kind of gets to like all these little things, right? And the way that we do that, but there's this distinct shift because eventually, you know, we will all fail ourselves, and what we'll realize is that the gods with the little g don't sustain, don't keep us there, whether that be ourselves, whether that be some form of addiction, whether that be power, whether that be monetary resources, whether that be substance abuse, whatever that is, at some point we will fall, fail, and recognize that they are not enough. But when we look at it as being gods, apostrophe, all of a sudden some perspective changes. All of a sudden, something moves and shifts where we step out of the center of that and we recognize that, well, maybe it's not all about me, or maybe it's not all about what I have thought it's about. Eric Ellis, in our book that's of the same title, Gifts of the Dark Wood, says this about this gift of emptiness. He says, one of the strange paradoxes about the gift of emptiness is that it appears to those standing outside of the dark wood as a negation of self-worth and identity. Think about that for a little bit, right? So when we pour ourselves out, when we give of ourselves, it looks like, oh, well, that person doesn't have much self-worth. Oh, you're downplaying. You don't have to be that humble. Clearly, you are worth more than what you are saying. And then he goes on and says, yet the experience of those on the inside the dark wood, is not negation, but a fulfillment of these very things. And so to translate that, if we had to tweet that out, right, it would say, through emptying ourselves, we become gods, apostrophe S. That we pour into those things that matter most, and we recognize then that our identity doesn't become or come from who we are, but whose we are. And there's a more powerful identity in knowing when we are emptied out for that one who gives us life, breath, and who created us fearfully and wonderfully, that then we are able to do something more, something better. There's no more hiding, no more tricks, no more deception. The emptiness or emptying ourselves in the presence of God grants us this kind of freedom that allows us to step into the inheritance of the kingdom more fully. We're not pretending. We're not trying to be some lowercase g gods, but rather we are stepping fully into knowing that one who created us and saying, this is all I am and this is all I have. I am emptied before you, laying at the altar, laying at your cross, the things that weigh heavy on me. That's liberation in the best kind of ways. And so as we're thinking about emptying ourselves today, that's the importance of this question that's on your next step sheet that we'll put at the cross in just a little bit. You know, what needs to be poured out in order for you to most or more fully live? What are those lowercase g's that you are struggling with that are holding you back from that uppercase g God's and being God's more fully? Is it self-doubt? Is it pride? Is it the things that you look for or long for? Is it some other things of materialism? Whatever that is, it can be relational, it can be anything else, but what are those things that need to be poured out so that we can come and be completely empty? And maybe it's because of other people that have siphoned off a little bit of that joy day after day, week after week, year after year, and you don't know where it's gone, but you just know that it's not there anymore. But first and foremost, we empty ourselves so that then this second piece that we are called to come and sit at the foot of the cross. Because if you think about that first answer, what we need to lose, it doesn't do much good to say that I'm going to lose these things or I'm going to be poured out in this way if then we don't have another way or another plan that is going to intervene and change what has been happening, right? It's kind of like saying that I'm going to go on a diet, but then I'm going to only focus on the things that I can't eat, right? Those kind of diets, those fitness plans don't work when you go, okay, well, I'm just going to stop, but I don't know what I'm going to do differently. And so with that mentality in mind of knowing what needs to be poured out, then we come and we sit at the cross. So because, you know, if we don't, it's almost like watching Food Network, which is super fun sometimes, except when you're hungry. And then you get grumpy at the people who make the great food because you can't have any, right? I have this great plan. I'm seeing this great gift. But man, they're just a TV screen away. And when we start to incorporate smells into that sensory experience, it's gonna be chaos, right? Either that or you're just gonna run out to the grocery store right then and there, because there's something unfulfilling about seeing that and not being able to experience it, that gift, that new life, that fullness. And so what we do is we are called then to be poured out, but then to come and sit at the cross, because we know that God is doing something exciting and powerful in our lives. But then we have to find ourselves at the cross, because an arm's length away faith doesn't do us any good. Just like watching Food Network doesn't make you less hungry, right? And so after we're emptied, we have this opportunity to then be filled back up. Carrie said it kind of jokingly as we were praying this morning. So what you're saying, your sermon is about if we're full of it, right? And sometimes, oh, Carrie, that is so true, right? Sometimes when we're full of it, we can't be filled back up, you know? That's the sermon today. That's it, Carrie, you got it, right? But we come and we sit at the cross so that we recognize and realize that there is something bigger and better happening there, and we need to spend time there. And so if the first part of our message from Luke 17, now we're going to kind of focus there, but then we're going to talk a little bit about then Aaron's big piece of scripture, which she killed that Hebrew piece on, by the way, even though I gave her an out and said she didn't have to read it. You did a great job. Yeah. So then after we're there, we need to spend time at the cross somewhere. There is something about the cross and our scripture today that draws us back in, the way in which there is something about reading about and being enfolded into that story of the crucifixion that, man, oh man, the room is always quiet. Doesn't matter where we are, right? There's something that there is different that happens there. There is something that draws us to the cross, because I think that it's one of those things, like Don posted on our blog a little while ago in Advent, there's this singularity that happens. There's this singularity, this one-time event that doesn't ever need to happen again, but there is this intersection that we have that we need to sit with at the cross, where there is this understanding of our brokenness and our role in that scripture that places us as maybe one of the Roman centurions or one of the crowd or one of the whatever that then helped the progress of Jesus get from child who is initiated at 13 into the temple teaching to this cross area. And we need to own that. We need to pour ourselves out and recognize that we have a role there in that brokenness and sinfulness. But we also have a role in this singularity moment of being upon that cross and knowing that where our sin is and where our guilt is upon that cross, being actively forgiven. And theologians and pastors and preachers, you know, we make a living on the fact that we can disagree and fight about the way that works. hundreds of different ways about the way that the cross works and the mechanics of it. But the bottom line is that there is something there that convicts us of our brokenness and at the same time allows us to live into that grace. And I think that, you know, there's this recognition too as we sit by the cross, as we spend time at the cross, that there's this difference that, yeah, we are guilty of being sinful people, but there's not shame in it. Guilt means that we've made a bad choice and that there is redemption ahead. Shame, something that the church has been abusing for generations, says, oh no, you are a terrible person. Why would you ever think that you can be something good? Well, we think that we can be something good because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the place that we are literally sitting beside. There is this singularity that happens. And so what we recognize is that this type of time and place and space and sitting and pausing can't happen, you know, by proxy. And so today, as we kind of continue to explore this Luke 17 passage, verse 34 says this, and it's a little bit weird, but it makes more sense in a little bit. It says, I tell you, on that night, two people will be laying in the same bed together, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. Or then it goes on and talks about how there could be two women making grain, and one will be left, and one will be gone. And, you know, when I read that, I think that, you know, you can't rely on somebody else's faith. You can't have a secondhand faith and think that it's okay. You know, the way that God works is that God is on a first-name basis with God's people, which is great news because we have this direct access to the one who created us. But it also means that even though we do faith in a community, even though this faith thing is more communal than we would like to realize and recognize, there are also no bench warmers when it comes to walking out our faith, right? It is a full-on contact sport where everybody was playing all the time. You can't take a break. You can't say, well, you know what? My mom was really religious, and that should count for me. Well, I went to church enough as a kid, so I get told a lot. I went to church enough as a kid, and so then that should be good enough, right? Well, no. You know, we can't bank that kind of faith and relationship on the things that have happened or those people that have gone before us. And in fact, when we think about that being poured outness of life, when we talk about the way in which we feel so empty, you know, oftentimes the solution, the remedy, isn't rest and just go, well, this is the perfect Sunday. I can just sleep in. I lost an hour of sleep last night. And does anybody else get so anxious about the alarms and everything else that is automatic, not going off, that then that you can't go back to sleep like that, right? It's like, oh man, Google reminded me all day, change your clocks, to the point that I thought, oh, my phone's not going to automatically reset. How do I do that? That's not a setting that I have. I could just sleep in. I can't find my clothes. Kids ate all my cereal. Just go back to sleep, right? But as Benedictine monk, Brother David said this. He reminds us that the antidote for exhaustion and emptiness is not rest, but rather wholeheartedness. Is this way in which we wholeheartedly come to God, wholeheartedly recognize and realize the place that we need to be. In this place, this kind of intersection between grace and guilt, where we are God's so fully that we recognize that singularity, that we need to be there. We need to spend some time there. Pastor Mike Slaughter says, you know, it only takes me about 24 hours to lose a healthy fear and reverence for God. And so daily we need to come back to the cross. Daily we need to do that. And so, you know, if this is a time and place where you're thinking, man, my dark wood is that I haven't spent any time at the cross in years, right? Again, there's no shame. There's guilt in admitting that that's the place where I haven't been in a long time. But maybe today, on your card, that's the thing that you need to do. Say, I just, you know, my dark wood, the thing that I need to do is pour out in front of the cross because I need to recommit or commit my life to being there at the cross with Jesus and saying, dude, I'm a little G, but you're the big G, and I want to be yours. Maybe that's today for you. But we empty ourselves out, and we spend time at the cross, and then we recognize today that then we are finally there and we finally can be filled with this gift. Because at the cross, it's almost like there's this never-ending stream All right, we're going to do this and just try not to spill, right? There's this ever-ending stream, but that doesn't help us over here when we're continually, God's pouring out. And what happens is that we're not receiving any of that because we're not over there. And so we need to position ourselves so that we can receive that gift that God is pouring out and into everyone, as long as we just have our hands open. And so that Luke passage, again, going back to that, Luke 17, it makes this weird reference to Lot's wife, who's, you know, a stand-up gal. And what it finds, it says, well, on the day that Jesus is coming, on that day that is there and there's stuff happening, man, it is like you have finally gotten to the front of the line on Splash Mountain at the Magic Kingdom and Disney World, and you have waited. When it's your turn, you're not going to go, you know what? I actually think that I'm going to go get a churro, right? You don't do that. You don't go back. You don't look back. And so what it's saying there is what was Lot's wife's issue? That God said, all right, there's going to be some stuff going down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back, right? Now, if any of you have ever trained a young person to drive, you know that when they are merging into another lane, you tell them to use their mirrors, because when you look back, what happens? You drift off the side, right? And so when we drift from this place that we're supposed to be, we can't recognize and be filled with that gift, because here we are looking off to the side, moving away from that gift and grace. When we get distracted, when we are Lot's wife, going, oh, what's back there? It's really hard to receive that gift like this. And so when God is pouring into us, our job is to position then ourselves so that we can be, you know, filled up by that gift that is continuously streaming and pouring into us, so that today then we might be empty so that we can be filled up. And sometimes the gift that God is giving us, sometimes the way that God is filling us up might just be encouragement. Woo, because you need encouragement. But there are other days that we might not like, but that's truth that God's given us, right? But we can't encounter that truth until we've already been poured out of that encouragement. And so the hard thing is that now that we've been filled, now that we've been, you know, that this is our point for today, is that after receiving that gift of being filled, now what do we have to do? Well, what was Carrie's sermon about? You can't be filled up, right, if you're already full. And so we need to repeat this cycle. We need to recognize that when we are full, then we can be poured out, but not just siphoned off, okay? But we can be poured out on our own terms. So, Wednesday, day later, okay? A little bit more than 24 hours later. Wednesday was fantastic because somehow, some way, you know, I was able to be, you know, and actually a lot of it had to do with the fact that Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, what I did was I just sat outside my hammock in some prayer. I did some devotion time. I was really intentional about saying, I'm not going to let other things siphon off my joy. And so Wednesday was awesome because I got to call people about how they were doing after surgery. I got to pray for people who had job interviews. I got to talk to, I got to talk to all of our high school kids about some great stuff. I got to run with them. I made poor choices, and I ran with the distance guys, and I did the sprint workout part of it, and I was dead afterwards, right? And so, like, all of that, though, allowed me on my own terms, oh, there's a lid there, right, to not just be poured out into this abyss that I don't know where it's going, but I was able to pour out into something that gave life. And that feels way different, doesn't it? That this gift of emptiness then allows us to be poured out onto those things that are life-giving. So that then on Wednesday night, I was way more tired than I was on Tuesday. But I was also way more full on Wednesday than Tuesday. And it's because we position ourselves. And so in just a little bit, in just a minute, we're going to have the band come back up and play our last song. And the question is, what do we need to do to let go, to be poured out at the cross, so that we might be filled up for that gift? See how it is? A gift of emptiness when we are God's with the apostrophe. So my prayer today is that you might empty yourself this week to be God's more fully, to sit at the cross and be filled so that then you can pour out on something that is life-giving. and that we can go into the world, go into the community, go in and being people who every single day are emptied and every single day come back and are filled by that grace and peace that that cross represents. Let's pray. God of grace, we come to you, a people who are in need of your grace, in need of being poured out, in need of being made full. But God of grace, we know that you are our God and that sometimes we get confused about who's in charge. Let us empty ourselves, knowing that our identity is not in who we are, but whose we are.